Sekhar Mantri? Six? So we're going to have to capsulize this next session. This is one of two parts. After RT will be part two this evening. And the topic is connected chanting. So please excuse me, but I'm going to make you feel a little uncomfortable over the next 15, 20 minutes to get you in that liminal space. Okay? Please forgive me if you feel uncomfortable. It's by design. Somebody that's sitting near where you're sitting, give some thought to the following question, and you have 1 minute each to share. Okay. So that, during the kirtan that we just had, how aware were you of being in Krishna's presence? Because we know the teaching, right? That, you know, what we know and where we are. What we know is Krishna is none different than his holy name. So how much awareness was there that Krishna was present with us, or we were with Krishna, Krishna's presence, while chanting Krishna's holy name? Think about it. You can write some little note for yourself, but very quickly, because the clock is still moving. 1 minute sharing. I'll bang the cartel when you're ready to stop you. You have 1 more minute. Share quickly. Seconds remaining. Bing. That's the bell. Bing. So, because we don't have the time, I won't ask you what that experience in your sharing was, but largely we're chanting Krishna's holy name in a mechanical way and not being attentive to his presence. So thus the title, Connected Chanting. So I'm going to come back to the theme. Press that on the pause button for a moment. And I'm going to go over to association through sound vibration. We'll start with association through vani. We've all heard that one. Vani and vapu. There's association with a sadhu or saintly person through instruction, and association through physical presence. Most likely, for all of us, there's something that we've heard from a sadhu somewhere along the line in our lives that made a very strong impression. And that strong impression continues to resonate within us, within our hearts, and it stays with us, and by that resonating, we're associating with that sadhu. I'll give some personal examples or practical examples. Chant 16 rounds. I mean, it's like we need to hear our founder Acharya say 16 rounds minimum, particularly for initiated devotees, or take only Krishna prasadam. We're not vegetarians, we're Krishnatarians. We take only Krishna prasadam, and that way the tongue is controlled. Or, at least from the days of Prabhupada's presence, distribute my books. We had Vaikuntha players, a theater group headed by really talented devotees. Lokamangala, Loitaksha, Madharasagya, Nayana Baram, a whole group of really qualified devotees. And every time Prabhupada came, it was one of the features of Prabhupada's visit is they would have a play. And they became so enthusiastic, they started having public dramas, and they reported this to Prabhupada after one drama, and Prabhupada's reply was not how it was received. His question was, how many Bhagavad Gitas did you distribute? Meaning it was like a refrain. He wanted us to distribute his books. We wanted us to do many things, but so it was wherever we are thinking, this is Prabhupada's desire. Or some special appreciation that I've shared a number of times, but I'll share it again, with Bhaktisiddhanta, reading an article from Back to God that he wrote. The first Back to Godhead magazine that I read was the feature article. So I was really moved by the spirituality of Bhaktisiddhanta, and then later, so that my heart was already open. And in the second encounter with Bhaktisiddhanta, I had this like anticipation of, yay, Bhaktisiddhanta, what's some connection, some further connection? So it happened that the next connection was a preface to a book that he wrote. And in that preface, the preface said, a Vaishnava never looks to find fault within others, for by so doing, he sees that very same fault is actually honeycombed within his own heart. Paragraph. Rather, a Vaishnava is one who looks within. This is the nature of a Vaishnava. By so doing, he will become purified and capable of serving and elevating others by his association. And that went very deep. So I read it again and read it again and read it again, and it stayed with me like an echo. It just keeps playing again. It's a very strong message. By that method, one can associate with a sadhu by not only remembering, but living by their instructions, being guided, having your life guided. So that's association with a saintly person by remembering. And it can happen just in a natural way. It can happen by deliberate practice that then becomes second nature. Habit becomes second nature. Where it just stays with you and it resonates within your heart. That's association. The echo of a sadhu within the heart, another phrase. Or vani sangha, another phrase. Same thing. So when we render our service, take that phrase, take that vani, the instruction, and maintain that instruction within your heart while you're doing your service. It's like what Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Perform your prescribed duty and always remember me. This is simple formula for spiritual perfection. So while rendering service, because we all serve, and maintaining this sangha, vani sangha, meditating upon this sublime teaching that we've heard from a spiritual personality, a saintly personality, our founder, acharya, or whatever. In that way, we're continuing association. That connectedness is there with that sadhu, because our life is not separate from this very important, significant, powerful instruction that we've heard. And our life becomes made up of fulfilling those instructions. And that's connectedness with the sadhu. Vani. Association through vani. So now, in any spiritual teaching or teacher, they give spiritual teachings. So in those spiritual teachings, there are different components or levels. One is just general or generic, teaching what's in the Vedas, giving Vedic wisdom in disciplic succession, giving Vedic wisdom. Then, on an individual basis, or a group basis, recognizing the capacity of an individual, or the capacity of a group, and making sure that they have a clear understanding. It may mean going over a particular point from many different angles of vision again and again. Prabhupada would do this in his teaching, again and again and again, covering the same point. Hearing questions, addressing doubts, going into detail where detail was needed, making sure that there's very clear understanding in fineness. And then, third is the application of those teachings. Because theoretical understanding without application doesn't carry us to the right place that we want to go, or the right place that the teacher wants us to go. So that teaching is that all that Vedic wisdom, what's it for? What's the purpose behind it? It's to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. We have a relationship with Krishna. That's good news. Some people don't know that. And that we're meant to reestablish that relationship with Krishna. And there are practical application of these teachings that help us reestablish our relationship with Krishna. Those are, go back and say that the general and even the detail of the teachings of a teacher, of a proper teacher, it has as its basis or foundation. Behind it is the idea that there's a relationship with Krishna that we're meant to restore. As the student grows or matures, as they spiritually evolve, then according to the capacity of the student and their level of spiritual elevation, it's not like new teachings are told, but a deeper understanding can be imparted because of the capacity has increased and their elevation has increased. Meaning, like for example, an introductory class is not the same as an intermediate class, is not the same as an advanced class. Or what Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, what's taught in Srimad Bhagavatam, and some of the very elevated understandings found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They're not different teachings. 2 plus 2 is still 4. But as stages of spiritual evolving take place, then a deeper understanding can be disclosed or received by the student. So that's, now connect that to the chanting that we question. Were you feeling the presence of Krishna or consciously aware of Krishna's presence? We're meant to achieve that. That's it's our retreat's objective, one of them. It's our life's objective. It's why we're taking up the process of devotional service, to restore that relationship with Krishna. And to restore the relationship with Krishna, we have to pay attention to Krishna. Not just a mechanical process, like a vending machine. Vending machines, you consider what you want, you put your coins in, you pull the lever, and down the chute comes the product you want. Very mechanical. And the devotional process is not a vending machine. Our relationship with Krishna comes by not just doing certain behaviors, like even chanting. The nourishing of our relationship is where our attention is going. So part of our attention is to make our mouth go. But another part of our attention is where our awareness, what's very important to us. This is a teaching that you've heard before of the offenses against the holy name. Haridas Thakur teaches, Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches, our acharyas teach us that inattentiveness is at the root of all the offenses, or the way to correct offenses against the holy name is attentiveness. So that's really important, attentiveness while chanting. And now with the association of a saintly person, they're telling us, any bona fide teacher is going to tell us, our relationship with Krishna is of paramount importance. And it's again and again and is at the heart of the teaching. So, why is it, say the opposite? The opposite is, if we're religiously performing our sadhana, dutifully performing our sadhana, when will that day come when we actually have a taste, actually have a joy in chanting? And when we're having a joy in chanting, we just want more chanting and more chanting and more chanting. Kirtan is very much like that, and maybe japa isn't as pleasing as kirtan for some persons, because, well, there's many becauses. There's more social activity in kirtan. There's a dovetailing of musical skill. And I can demonstrate my musical skill, and people appreciate my musical skill, my instrumentation, or my madanga playing, or my voice, or something. And a dovetail. But it's with certainly the experience of chanting simply for the pleasure of Krishna, to be in Krishna's presence, that Krishna will be pleased by the very simple activity of singing and praising his holy name. Kirtayantas Satatam kirtayanto mam. I had a little anecdote as I had this experience, horrible experience, of Radha Govinda, our deities in New York. At one point in time, through a stroke of absolute madness, the temple in Manhattan, which Prabhupada said should never be sold and the deities should never be moved again, a decision was made to sell the temple and to move Radha Govinda again, directly against Prabhupada's instruction. And the place they went to was this little narrow building, instead of, you know, a temple room that was like three times this size. It was a little temple room that was constricted like somebody's closet because they had to do some renovation. I was not in New York when that happened. I was in New England. When I came to see Radha Govinda, they looked angry. I wanted to hide my face just when I saw them. They were visibly angry, like, get me out of here. And visibly, when it happened that they were taken out of that place and brought to where they are presently, and there was kirtan before them, they looked visibly happy. I could tell you some other stories, but and in discussion with other devotees, deities, like, you know, when we come here and have kirtan before Radha Damodar, they like it. You know, one of the reasons that they want us here is they like nice kirtan. They travel all over North America in a bus to enjoy the kirtan of Vishnu Jan Swami and the Radha Damodar party. And after the Radha Damodar party ended up, they were taken to Giranagari, where there was kirtan for a while, and then the population decreased. And anyway, they like kirtan. That's one of the reasons why we're here, to serve them nicely for their pleasure. Now, what about us? If we're doing our daily chanting, besides kirtan, japa, where there isn't our happiness of the musical part, it's just us and Krishna's holy name, the mind can very easily become restless. We can continue for some time because it's something that we're enjoined to do. But without paying attention to Krishna's personal presence, it's not something that we can long-term continue. What to speak of to come to that position where there's actual taste. Has it occurred to you, it's occurred to me, it occurred to many devotees, that, you know, during Prabhupada's time, there were a lot of devotees, of his initiated disciples. And where are all those devotees now? Not all of them are deceased. Where are they? So we have a database, but where are they? And then presently, you know, how many devotees in ISKCON have been initiated and how many of them are continuing practicing? And, you know, say it the other way, let us not become such a statistic. How many persons that were initiated are no longer practicing? That's the converse of, you know, the unwanted thing. We want to feel tangible spiritual progress. And part of that tangible spiritual progress is the fading of our material conditioning. And if we're not seeing that there's the fading of the material conditioning, what happens? It displaces the spiritual practice in course of time. Or saying the same thing in a different way, Prabhupada's very simple expression is, you're either progressing or regressing. There's no question in spiritual life of staying in the same place. If you're staying in the same place, you're regressing. Because if you're staying in the same place, even dutifully continuing something without taste, material tendencies are going to reappear. Conditioned tendencies are going to reappear. Just like this example that the thief stealing, or the person becoming angry, or the lusty person being lusty, or some lower nature superseding a religious principle because the modes are competing for supremacy, and it's just what happens. Unless there's actual shelter. And there's not going to be actual shelter unless we're going back to the prior discussion. We're hearing properly from sadhu. We're taking vani sangha, or the echo of the sadhu within the heart is carrying us by application to paying attention to our relationship with Krishna. And especially it's appropriate, applicable in chanting of the holy name. From the chanting of the holy name, we can advance in that relationship with Krishna up to the point of deity worship and so many other more refined and responsible and qualification requiring types of services, but it starts with chanting and hearing, and in that hearing it's receiving. So we make a sound and we hear the sound, and we're paying attention to our relationship with Krishna. Again, otherwise our material tendencies will again take over. There's to illustrate this, there's a period in our Hare Krishna movement when Prabhupada started speaking about Varnashram, and it was in 76 in Mayapur. And what Prabhupada was saying is, we need to establish Varnashram. And his reason is, or was, because my disciples, they're not chanting their 16 rounds and chanting their Gayatri mantras. That's the elevator that takes us to a higher position. But if that they were doing, but they've ceased doing, they're not going to be elevated. And if they're, how are they going to continue doing if there isn't taste, if they're not connecting with Krishna? So then the safety net of duties of varna and ashram, but actually the purpose of the duties of varna and ashram are to help us come to the position of taking shelter of Krishna, pleasing Krishna. And our direct method is the chanting of Krishna's holy name. One of the things that prevents us from taking shelter in our relationship with Krishna while chanting the holy name is that we hold on to a bodily conception of life. We can't think, we can't conceive, we can't contemplate of Krishna in the sound vibration of his holy name, because we've got this bodily conception, and there's what's the bodily conception connected with Krishna and the sound vibration of his holy name? There isn't. And so we may do religiously because we're told it will purify us. There is the theory that as base metal, there's this verse from Hari Bhakti Vilas, as base metal can be transformed into gold by process of alchemy, so also one who is duly initiated can become qualified as a Vaishnav and qualified as a Brahmana Vaishnav just by this proper process. So we know that's the teaching. But supposing that's not what we're experiencing. We're not experiencing if we hold on to a bodily conception of life. And to get out of the bodily conception of life requires these teachings. So we're dependent upon sadhus to give us teachings. Going back to these, what's the Vedic idea? What's the Vedic wisdom? I was hearing Prabhupada make this point in a lecture just recently. It's perfectly applicable. First he was going to the material side and then he took it to the spiritual side. On the material side, he was explaining a young man or young woman is not thinking in terms of my child, my mother-in-law, my husband or my wife. Although that may happen in course of time, not until a primary relationship is established where someone marries somebody, now this is my husband or this is my wife, that's my mother-in-law, that's my father-in-law, that's my child. These bodily relations are dependent upon another bodily relation. Otherwise they have no meaning. He said it like four times, giving similar but slightly different examples. Then he went to the spiritual side. So similarly, the primary relationship that we have spiritually is with Krishna. And without the primary spiritual relationship with Krishna, how can we have spiritual relationships with others? And if we don't have spiritual relationships with others, we'll have material relationships with others, and material relationships mean so many problems. So many problems flow from the fact that we're not taking shelter of Krishna. But because we're holding on to the bodily conception, we're not establishing our relationship with Krishna, we struggle with so many problems, unnecessarily. And then he did it again. please try to understand. Our problems, our life, are completely unnecessary. Simply because we don't take proper shelter of the teachings of the sadhu that's resonating within our heart that says, take shelter of Krishna. Feel this connectedness with Krishna. And in the connectedness with Krishna, so many other things that are problematic fall away. In the last few weeks, I received a letter, as you know, like a little report from one teenage devotee, won't express their name, and they were sharing as they're reading and learning and doing practicing Krishna consciousness. They had this thought that said, what does it mean that I'm spirit soul? Like ABC. What does it mean? But I took it seriously. But this is like, be a beginner. What does it mean? And as I was contemplating, what does it mean to be spirit soul? I found that so many things, I'll edit a little bit and say teenage things, just kind of faded and became not so important. And spiritual things became much more important. But, it didn't last for too long. But it was a nice feeling of being on the spiritual platform, or he didn't use exactly those words, but feeling the relief of the harassment of the material energy, which is completely unnecessary, for want of taking shelter of the spiritual teaching. And ultimately, the spiritual teaching is supported by our relationship with Krishna. And then, I'm spirit soul, not this body, and the insignificance of all temporary things. We may act responsibly and do it. This is where religion comes in. I act according to my duty, of this position, that position, according to duty. But the essence is my relationship with Krishna. The essence is my relationship with Krishna. How can I achieve that essence of relationship with Krishna? Especially important in this age of Kali is the means of chanting, is the means to attain that. And everything comes up. The tide that lifts all boats, as the saying goes, is taking shelter of this connectedness with Krishna. This is the key of this first part of what I wanted to present. This liminal space thing between our everyday chanting and what we know our teachings say. Practice, like this young devotee was sharing with me about, what does it mean to be spirit soul? What does it mean to have a relationship with Krishna? And not like, you know, speculate your brains out, go ahead. But the name of Krishna and Krishna are non-different. And contemplate that. At least, you know, Krishna's, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his Shikshastakam, all of your spiritual potencies are fully present in each and every one of your holy names. Krishna is mercifully manifesting himself. What is my relationship with Krishna? Or say this, I'm going to say the same thing in some different ways. Maybe one of them will stick more than another one. Somebody says, I'm a devotee. Or you may say, I'm a devotee or trying to be a devotee. Then devotee means devotee of who or what? So a devotee of Krishna. So then, what is your relationship with Krishna? I don't know. So through the medium, we'll go back again, through the medium of the teachings, because Krishna gives teachings who he is and how to attain him. And there's teachers that provide those teachings and help us understand how to apply those teachings and keep our attention focused on the goal. And also keep our attention focused on letting go of the bodily conception of life. Letting go of the things connected, the mind part of I and mind, the material conceptions of the mediums for material enjoyment, and for that matter, seeing the holy name as merely a karmakanda ritual, something that releases us from the bondage of our past misdeeds and makes us pious. That's an offense against the holy name. But so what is it? It's direct relationship with Krishna. Well, that's the liminal space thing. I'm not there. Maybe I don't disagree with the teaching, but I'm not connecting with that teaching. So, give two practical examples of this. Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, many of you know Rabindra Sarup Prabhu, spent like a year and a half of making presentations on what he saw from reading in in different theologies, because Rabindra is a philosopher. He has a PhD in philosophy, so he approaches things in that way. Any of you that read his Vyasa Puja offering, it's like, you know, it's a Sanskrit class on the declension of our pranam mantra to Srila Prabhupada. It's like, you know, he's a philosopher. So he was contemplating the same question that I'm placing before you. Why is it that devotees, after practicing Krishna consciousness for so many years, may fade in their commitment? So he was reading through different books, and he began explaining it in terms of one that he found was very meaningful. What I'm saying here is it's not Hare Krishna movement specific, it's broad persons who take up a practice without connecting with the person that the practice is meant to connect with. And they fade because it doesn't match their expectations. And they start to feel feelings of guilt and all kinds of things. So Satchinandan Swami similarly was sharing that there was one woman, a Sitaram Bhakta, who 30 years through her life, she was chanting Sitaram Bhajans and reading Ramayana, and, you know, she was absorbed in a religious way, but she brought to a sadhu the fact that I don't feel I'm making spiritual progress. I don't really feel that I'm doing things the right way, and I'm feeling discouraged. So this sadhu expressed that ABC, I'll read the expression. Has anyone ever explained to you the true identity of Sri Sitaram? Has anyone sat down with you and told your own identity and how you are in this world captured and imprisoned? Has anyone really told you about your relationship with Sitaram? I've had this experience, not specifically in this language, but, you know, it's either one or the other. Someone that's just like tenaciously attached to something ritualistically that really doesn't have any understanding, or someone that's disappointed because that ritual isn't supplying their expectation. The world is filled with that. It's not just one tradition. The world is filled with that. And what, you know, the teachings that Srila Prabhupada has given us in his writings are replete with the instructions, but we need to apply them. And especially in this retreat, this section of the retreat, I want to bring special focus upon connectedness with Krishna while chanting. Looking at the clock, we're supposed to end in 10 minutes. I haven't said all that I want to say, but you get the direction. When we're not feeling like beginners, when we're feeling like, you know, we're proficient, we're not recognizing the fact that we're not really connected. We're just doing. And it's good to do rather than not do. But to keep doing, that connectedness has to be experienced. It's something like, you know, a family that kind of stays together but they don't talk to each other. Or they talk about, you know, finish your homework and make sure you pay the bills and do all the business without necessarily, you know, understanding how one another is feeling and what the challenges that they're meeting and sharing. And it can happen in the Sangha of devotees too. And it can happen, and it starts with our relationship with Krishna, is my point. We're in it saying, but the mind is elsewhere. You know, just like another example is the use of the term Prabhu. Prabhupada taught us that we should pay obeisances when we see another devotee first thing in the day, and we should address them as Prabhu. And because Prabhu means they're our master. But, you know, we do that mechanically. We may pay obeisances mechanically. Somebody was aggravated and, you know, called me and said, you know, it was a voice message. Haribol Maharaj, you know, Haribol, there's another one. Haribol Maharaj, happy Janmashtami, by the way, and then rah, 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 rah. I mean, I understand that they were in some distress, so I'm not, but it's just, we have a relationship with Everything starts with our relationship with Krishna. That's the primary relationship through which other relationships can become spiritual. And then we pay attention to the personal nature of those other relationships as we're paying personal attention to our relationship with Krishna. Okay. So there's like 6.5 minutes for our exercise. Not time, is it? What to do? Okay. We'll just extend our evening session to catch up. Okay. Any comments or questions? Yes? There's a microphone. It doesn't have a cable attached to it, though.
Maharaj, you were speaking about Vani association and remembering, associating with a person by remembering the instruction. I was thinking one way of remembering a person is to remember the form of the person. In other words, and there is also that we associate with the person by remembering the instruction. So I find that sometimes when I remember the instruction, I don't necessarily remember the form of the person. So is it partial remembrance, or is that...
The essence is not remembering the form, because the form changes. The essence is remembering the instruction, because the instruction doesn't change, and that's the essence of the person, not their external feature. Now, seeing the external feature may help you remember the person. When I was a new devotee, one of the things that I heard was there was a picture of Srila Prabhupada at 26 Second Avenue, and he was seated outside in the back, and he was, you know, partly in the sun and partly not in the sun, and he had a very grave, almost like stern look on his face. So somebody brought that, I heard this, somebody brought this to Prabhupada's attention, said, Swamiji, I thought, you know, sadhus are supposed to be happy. In this picture, you look very unhappy. And Prabhupada's reply, I remember that was a moment of ecstasy. So, what do we know about physical form and the person? On the other hand, you know, if some remembrance of physical form helps, fine. Take help. We take help whenever we can get it. But the essence is the instruction. Something else? You have something? Yes, over here.
Maharaj, this is about like what Premadharani Mataji was saying regarding like how nothing happens by accident. I was just thinking like recently or like some incidents have taken place where I feel like, you know, I've like a lot to learn from them, you know, especially like it's reiterated to me, you know, the importance of mudra dependence and prayerful mood and all that. And like, I don't know, I'm finding like much solace when I, you know, in that mood of dependence, in that prayerful mood. But at the same time, it's not a complete mood of dependence. I have like my material, I guess, attachments mixed. Like, you know, I kind of pray for like, you know, the situation to get better, stuff like that. Although I'm like dependent, it's not full complete dependence because I'm still like, you know, I want the situation. I'm not like, you know, I'm not completely dependent, you know, I'm not happy with whatever Krishna is doing. Like, I just want the situation to get better. Like, like that. So in such cases, what do I do?
I got the situation, and now the question, the punchline is?
No, like...
What's the question specifically? Like what to do?
Yeah, is that okay? Because it's not a complete mood of dependence, but...
Sure, it's okay. But, you know, we all have to begin someplace. So, again, it's, here's our teaching and here's where we are. And your expression is being honest of where you are. And you're asking, is it okay to be where you are? Sure, it's okay to be where you are. And then, okay, what's a doable step to get to where you want to be? And even just contemplating, like it's like that caterpillar butterfly, just by the contemplation will help bring some transformation. But then there's some, you know, the practical thing has to be done, whatever that doable practical thing is. We discussed this last correspondence, a little doable step in the right direction. And it's okay. Because there's, you know, there's some faith, some dependence, not complete, but some faith, some dependence, some trust in Krishna, and a little step towards Krishna. That's good. One of the things that helps make that little step towards Krishna is the honesty to recognize I'm not, you know, at this other position yet. Persons that don't progress can't acknowledge that. Just like, I can't say that. I can't see it and I can't say it because I don't see it. I'm okay. That's complacency. The other, there's some tension in it. That tension is okay. Because now you can, you know, it's impetus to go forward out of self-honesty. You follow? Does that address your question? Kind of, or?
I have one, like, follow-up.
Okay.
Like, adding on, like what if you,
We'll save it for after, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, where's Neha? What's the plan? Neha, what's the plan? Arti, you have a plan? There's a plan. Mukunda, you're on. You're the plan. Shishiradha Damodar ki jai.